whatever it takes. He wants you to know that he's there with you and for you, because I believe he has an assignment for you to walk into, and he's jealous for that assignment, for you to get started on it. And it begins with hearing, and I believe that you're entering a season where you're going to hear his voice again, afresh, anew, whatever term you want to use. But I believe you're entering a season where you're going to hear the voice of Jesus again, whispering to you, this is the way, walk it this way. This is what I want you to do today. So be attentive, listen. My encouragement to you this morning, what I feel the Spirit saying. The other person that came to me as I was praying this morning was you, Wisdom. You have a confirmation. Do you want to share something with us? because I just felt the Holy Spirit say, first of all, to thank you for being brave enough to step into an arena, the political arena, that most people are too scared to step into. It's an arena we all like to talk about. It's an arena we all like to complain and grumble about and speak negative words over often. But actually, the Holy Spirit says to you, thank you for stepping into that arena for me. I need men like you, peacemakers. I need peacemakers in that arena. Men who are going to bring light, not darkness. Men who are going to bring wisdom and order and not confusion. Men who are going to build, not destroy. Men who are going to serve, not look after their own interests. I need men like you in the political arena. I am with you in that. I am with you in that. You will watch and see that I am with you in that. And I see you bringing peace. I see you helping people to see perspectives that they wouldn't otherwise see if you weren't there. Different people and different factions, I see you helping them understand each other. And in understanding each other, they stop becoming enemies. They're able to work together. They may not agree, but they're able to work together. And I see you bringing that spirit of peace, because the spirit of peace is on you. And just as Solomon prayed for wisdom to rule wisely, you're named Wisdom, and that's not by mistake. You know, that's for this season. You're named Wisdom for this season, to bring wisdom to the people and to the leaders of the people. And the Holy Spirit really wants you to know that he's with you in that. Bringing wisdom, bringing reconciliation, bringing peace, finding the way forward and exposing darkness where it needs to be exposed. But there's less darkness than people will tell you, and more misunderstanding and confusion sown by the enemy. That's what the words that I felt to say to you. So bring light and bring peace, and thank you for stepping into that arena for me, says the Holy Spirit. Good. Thank you for my drink. God is so good. He's amazing. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you know, don't waste another moment. Respond to the word that Ian gave us. Honestly, you will never regret it. I became a Christian at the age of 24, and you know, you see me jump at the front of the meeting, and some people get offended by that sometimes. It did in my early days, because I thought I was trying to attract attention to myself. But really and truly, it's just because I'm so glad to know Jesus. I'm so grateful that he treats me better than I deserve. And, you know, don't waste another day. If you don't know Jesus, don't waste another day. Ask him into your heart, because it's the best thing you will ever, ever do. Guaranteed, without exception. So I'm going to try and finish off this series. Have we got one more, actually? Showing of the Holy Ghost film. Okay. Well, I've listened to the earlier ones. I thought the guys did a great job the last few weeks. I love what Ruth and Dave shared. So I encourage you, if you haven't listened to those talks, please do so. I was refreshed listening to them. And we kind of learned a few things. I'm just going to quickly recap some of those things. You know, we learned he's a force, not an it. I can't sing the song. I like to sing, but I don't know that song, so I won't. And we learned that he's nothing to be scared of. You know, and actually, if you want to know what he's like, actually, just look at Jesus. Because Jesus says, I'm another one. He's another one, just like me. That Greek word, allos, another of the same kind, an identical one, just like me. So if you want... Someone whistled at that. And so he's nothing to be scared of. He is as loving and as gracious and as kind, as accepting as Jesus, and as good as Jesus. He's not some mysterious force that's going to take us over to get us to do what we don't want to do, which is sometimes what I might have thought a long time ago. He's our helper. You know, that Greek word parakletos just means he's called alongside. And I love that. I just absolutely love that picture. He's our helper, called alongside. Hey, come be with me. Come and walk alongside me through life. You know, I have my friend Mick sitting in the front row here. We've walked through 30-odd years of life, more years than I care to remember. But it's great to have friends like that who will walk through life with you. And the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he doesn't get married to a woman and go and live somewhere else. You know, we live together once. But, you know, we can live every day with the Holy Spirit and walk through life with him. And he's there and he's with us and he's for us. And that's fantastic to know. It's just fantastic to know. God is with us. That's one of the names of Jesus. And he came that we might know that. The Holy Spirit guides us. He empowers us to live like children of God. You know, that, I think it was Dave Jones who said that. He reminded us of the Old Testament promise of the Father that God would give us his Spirit, take away our hearts of stone, give us hearts of flesh, give us his Spirit and move us to follow his decrees. That internal motivation to live lives that please God. We know him as different names. We know him as the Holy Ghost. That's a bit scary, that one. We know him as the Spirit of Jesus or the Spirit of Christ. We know him as the breath of God. And you know, one of the amazing things that I can't get over is that truth. It's a very simple truth, but it's a profound truth that changes everything. He comes when we call. My dog doesn't even come when I call. Why should God? But this is a profound truth about our God is that he is humble and gentle. And when you read that, you think, oh, that's nice. But when you know what that means, you think, wow. The creator of the universe, the guy that breathed the whole thing into existence in the first place, the guy that created those billions of stars for us, just so we can gaze up and wonder at them. The guy that created all those suns and planets and keeps them all moving and keeps all the atoms in our bodies joined together. That God who sustains everything by his power is humble and gentle. It's just not the image of God that we're often used to seeing. This humble, you imagine humble and gentle people, you can walk by them and not notice them in a room. But you stop to speak to them and you draw out depths and you think, wow, I never knew that about you. Some of the quietest people, they're such profound depths, and yet they need to be drawn out. Our God is like that. We can walk by him and not see him. He's made the world that way. He's humble. He waits to be asked. He loves each one of us deeply, but he just is saying, I'm there for you whenever you want. And I've given signs like that wind that guy in that funny video to start with. There are signs that I'm there if you look for them, but I'm waiting for you to ask me to come closer, to come into my life. Comes when we call. I learned that very early on in my Christian life. I became a Christian at the age of 24. And in fact, I learned it even before that. The reason I chose that picture is because as a young man, I did a paper round. And one day I was caught out in the rain and it was thundery and lightning and my bag was getting heavier as I was doing this long paper round of about four miles or so. And I developed a really bad migraine headache and I was going slower and slower and slower. I was out for a couple of hours and going grinding down. I cried out to God, God, help me. I didn't even know if God existed. You know, but you do that kind of thing when you're a young lad, you know, and that's what you see people do. And it was just one of those things, you know, I need help. And within about 10, 15 minutes, my father and brother turn up with the car. My brother gets out and finishes the paper round for me. And my dad takes me to the warm, quiet place where I have some paracetamol and lie down and find peace. God came in the form of my brother and father. I learned that, you know, that's later on when I became a Christian, I realized what happened then. That was an answer to prayer. That day I didn't realize it. God is humble and gentle. I didn't notice him, even though I cried out to him and he came. But years later, I've become a Christian. I've called out to him again and he came. Just unbelievable. And then I became a Christian and I was at a meeting in Spring Harvest, a big gathering, thousands of people, and Roger Forster, one of my spiritual heroes, was preaching, and he said, I'm going to pray now for the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to call, and he's going to come. And he called out and just said, come, Holy Spirit. And I felt the tangible presence of God for the first time. And my eyelids were fluttering, and my hands were trembling. And I actually spoke in tongues for the first time, and that was a bit of a bizarre thing. You know, anybody who's battled to speak in tongues here? Yeah, come on, just be honest. There's lots of us. Because it's a stupid thing at one level, isn't it? You know, you open your mouth and speak all kinds of nonsense. But at the same time, I have found that to be one of the most wonderful gifts. It frees me up, frees my mind up not to have to pray in English. It frees my mind up just to listen to what Jesus is saying to me. And I have the best answers to prayer, and the most powerful prophetic words come to me when I'm praying in tongues. It's just the truth. Anyway, I prayed in tongues for the first time, and also God called me to church leadership that day. You can blame him. Don't blame me. Seriously, you can't do this job unless God calls you, because the enemy is always casting his arrows at you and telling you you're no good and telling you you're rubbish, and I am. I know that, but I also know the grace of God. And God has called me, and if God's called me, then I have to do it. Otherwise, I'm an unfaithful son. So I don't stand here to lead you because I'm better than you. I stand here just because God asked me to do it. I'm worse than most of you in the room, and I've always believed that in my life. That was a problem when I was young, but God set me free. So he comes when he calls. When we call. And I've learnt too that I can call on him and he comes. And he's come to me personally, but he also comes when I pray for other people. And that's a profound privilege. He comes when we call him for other people, for other places. You know, and when I lived in Nepal, I always have to have a Nepal story. Sorry about that. It's part of who I am. We lived in Nepal for a year. And I lived in Nepal, and I asked God, you know, what he wanted us to teach on. And one of the things that he deeply impressed on me was, you need to pray for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because at the moment, they're not. And only a few of them are actually exercising spiritual gifts. And I want all my people to be strong and to grow up mature and to be able to work with me to bring in the kingdom. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll preach on the Holy Spirit. So I took my alpha notes. Who is the Holy Spirit? You know, what does he do? You know, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? And I kind of condensed them and preached on them. And I went to the small village, Sanku, where they had a congregation, and I preached on the Holy Spirit. I thought, this is a fire, it's going to break out, it's going to be fantastic. There's going to be tongues, there's going to be prophetic words, there's going to be healings, it's going to be wonderful, it's going to be like one of those crusades. I preached my heart out, I anointed everyone, prayed for everyone, anointed them with oil, you know, because that's obviously what you have to do if you really want to see the Holy Spirit fall. And nothing happened. I thought, dull. I thought you asked me to pray for them to be filled with the Spirit, Lord. You know, what? Why didn't anything happen? Oh, you have little faith. And a week later, at the Sunday gathering, when they gathered all their congregations like we do, they have a gathering when their different congregations sometimes come together to listen to different speakers. And I was preaching, and they came over to listen from all their little villages. And the teenagers from that village all came up. They started to surround me and say, look, we had a fantastic time this week. At a normal Thursday prayer meeting, and then you pray for an hour, 4 till 5 on a Thursday afternoon. And we were praying, and we got to the 5 o'clock, and we were just closing down. And we were just saying the final prayers, and the Holy Spirit fell on us. And we prayed for another couple of hours, and we sang in tongues, and we prophesied. And it was fantastic. He said, we can't believe it. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. And thank you that I wasn't there to see it. I know it's got nothing to do with me. It's your gift. It's your grace. But he comes when we call. And that's just a simple truth. He comes when you call, and he comes when I call. That's amazing. God does that? Really? He does. That's enough for a sermon, really. But I hadn't started. Oh dear. I promised my wife I wouldn't overrun today, so I'm a man under authority. That's why I've got the growing bowl patch. Joke. But you know, the same thing happened to Jesus, didn't it? He prayed when he first prayed for his disciples. He said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and he blew on them. "I would blow on you, but in case I got bad breath, I won't." He just blew on them, received the Holy Spirit, and nothing happened, did it? Unless you believe in the chaos theory, in which case that breath had a knock-on effect, and a few weeks later there was a hurricane that blew through the house that they were all praying in, and Pentecost happened, and the Holy Spirit fell in fire, and gave us tongues and prophecy, and they all spilled out onto the streets like drunk men. But again, nothing happened when Jesus prayed on the day. But 6 weeks later, the Holy Spirit came in such amazing power. Powerful presence. Let's just take a moment right now just to think about the God who comes when we call. And maybe we're not used to calling him. Maybe we are. We just need to call him again. But in the quiet of this moment, let's call him again. Father, come. Holy Spirit, come to me now. Be with me now. Be my advocate, be my helper, be my comforter, be my guide. Be my Lord again. Be my Lord for the first time. Come. I want to know you. Thank you that you come when I call. I don't deserve it, but you're incredibly gracious to me. See, the Christian life is impossible without him. So I'm glad he comes. Dave Jones told us that last week, didn't he? You know, he's the one that performs the heart transplant. He's the one that takes away our hearts of stone and gives us hearts of flesh. He takes away our hard heart, the heart that's a bit stubborn, that refuses to change, refuses to listen. And he gives us a soft one, which is a bit more pliable, a bit more plastic, a bit more able to be shaped, and helps us to live a better life. He's the promise of the Father, the fulfillment of Jesus' work on earth. Jesus came to reveal God as Father. That's the reason he came. To reconnect mankind with God, because we'd lost that connection. He came to reconnect us with the God who loves us. To set us free from fear of a God we do not know, a God we're scared of. To bring us back into that intimate relationship with our God through his death, life and resurrection. He showed that God is with us. Even through death, there's nothing to fear. Jesus did that, all that for us. And I love that bit you read out from the shack, Ben. Fantastic. Jesus was, he became just a man. He laid it down, the Bible tells us. He laid it all down to show us what men could be like, what women could be like if they really trusted the God who loves them. Because it's impossible to live the life, a glorious life that God has for you. It's impossible for you to live that glorious life without the Holy Spirit. But there's a glory for you that can only be fulfilled by you saying, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill this earthen vessel, fill this body of mine and use me. Don't control me, but use me." And you know, one of the things he wants to do this morning is to banish fear from us. To drive out fear from our hearts, because perfect love drives out fear. He wants to do that right now. So if there's fear in our hearts, let it go. Ask the Holy Spirit in to replace it. He helps us in these things. You know, all the New Testament talks about the Holy Spirit, so you can't even begin to do it on a half-hour sermon on a Sunday morning. There are several key passages if you want to read them. John chapter 14 to 16, Jesus is about to be taken away. He talks about the Holy Spirit. Meditate on that and you'll be filled with wonder at the promise of Jesus for us, the coming Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, we're going to have a brief look at in my last few minutes. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where we're transformed by the Spirit as we gaze on the face of Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, we'll look at tiny bit. But, you know, I want to look at briefly at Romans chapter 8 in the last few minutes. Oh dear. One day, Colin, you'll stick to your notes. You know, your heart, it's easy for your heart to overflow. It's good to be disciplined and to deliver what you've thought about delivering. You know, we just get to Romans chapter 8, and the book of Romans is a fantastic book. It's not easy to grapple with. It's like steak. It's one you have to chew over a lot. And to get It's really helpful to get the big theme in your head in any book. It's helpful to have the big picture of what's going on in the book before you dive into the detail. And I haven't got time to go into that this morning. But, you know, Paul is leading the Roman church. He wants them to understand all the good things they have in Christ. He wants to help Jews live with Gentiles. He wants them to understand what this gospel, this good news is all about. He tries to define it for them, the fact that it's a gift of God through faith in Jesus. There's no law needed. There's nothing we have to do. It's a gift. It's a grace thing. It's free to anyone and to everyone who wants it, without cost, without judgment, because Jesus died for that. And he says, he gets to the point, he says, you know, but even with all knowing all of that, even knowing the right and the wrong, yet I still can't do the things I want to do, because when I want to do the good things, I try to do it, I don't do them. But the things I don't want to do, the things I hate, that's what I keep on doing. He said, what a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death? That's what he says. I can relate to that. Anybody relate to that? Anybody going to be honest with me? Come on, there's a few honest people in the room. Come on, there's a few more need to be honest. Come on, let's be honest. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who always leads us in triumph. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who sets us free, who overcame sin and death for us, set us free. And that's the first point I wanted to make. He brings us freedom. He helps us to live the way that we want to live. The Holy Spirit does that. And in the first few verses of chapter 8, we read that. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, and this taps into the whole power that sin has over us, basically. You know, we start off free, we start off with choices, but we make those choices, and before very long, we feel trapped. You see that it's obvious for some things. It's obvious for some sins, like alcoholism or drug addiction. You start off free, you say, oh, I'm going to try that because it looks fun. And you try it, you think, oh, that was fun, I'll try it again. And I'll try it again. And actually, over a period of a short time, sometimes once, but sometimes 10 or 12 times, the habit develops, and all of a sudden we think, I'm actually struggling now not to do that thing. And when we persist in these things, they have a power over us. And the Holy Spirit comes to set us free from that power through the work that Jesus has done on the cross. We don't develop the habits that we want to develop, the good habits that we want to develop. So this section really reveals to us the secret of living the way that God wants us to. And that is to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Not on the things that the flesh desires. You know, are we setting our minds on how we can love our wives, on how we can love our children, on how we can love our neighbor, on how we can serve those around us? Those are the kind of things that God wants us to do. Or actually, are we setting our minds on, you know, food, rest, sex, pleasure, the things that our body demands, the fleshly things? And if we fill our minds with one thing, it leads to peace. If we fill our minds with the other thing, it leads to death, strife. But you know, even when we know that, it's not enough. Knowing right from wrong is not enough. It just never is. I had a young guy come to me. He was doing the Alpha course, and he was really impressed by what we were teaching, and he thought he would live it. And he couldn't do it. And he stopped coming to the Alpha for a few weeks. And I met him in my garden. He came for a cup of tea. And he said, Colin, he said, you've got to help me. I'm a desperate man. I really like the message that you're preaching on the Alpha course. And I really want to follow Jesus, but I can't do it. I really want to be kind to these old ladies when I go around their houses and serve them. And because he was an engineer, he went around and helped people's homes. He said, but I find myself being angry, irritable, swearing before midday. And I said to him, you know, you're doing it in your own strength. You can't possibly do it. You know, God gives us a helper. to set us free from those things. You developed habits that have power over you now. There's only one way to break free from that habit, those habits, and that's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a work thing. You can't earn it. You can't do it. It's not by might or by power, by your own strength. It's just a grace gift. Be filled with the Spirit. And so I pray with him, just in my garden, just simple prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing happened. No visible signs. He didn't shake. He didn't say, "Whoa, hallelujah, I've been finally seen the light." None of that business. He said, "Thank you very much," and went away. But the next week he came back to Alpha and he said, "It works. I've been smiling and kind to all my clients, even the little old ladies that offer me cups of tea that I don't really want. And I'm taking ages over my jobs because I'm not rushing in and out anymore. I'm being kind to everybody. I'm speaking to them. I'm listening to them. And, you know, but I'm loving it because I'm living the life I wanted to live. I'm different." The Holy Spirit does that for us. Whatever it is, whatever we struggle, whatever things we want to give up that we can't give up, whatever it is that we want to do that we don't ever get around to doing, those good intentions, the secret is not to try harder, not to read your Bible more, not to pray more, not to do all those Christian things. The secret is simply this: to be filled with the Spirit. And he comes when we call. You know, I tell you that out of my own personal testimony. You know, I developed stuff like everybody else. I developed stuff to get on in life. I developed stuff around sexuality, set around images and stuff like that. I filled my mind with wrong images by looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. I then started to tell innuendo jokes to get a laugh, you know, sexual jokes around my friends because I always got a laugh and I felt more accepted. I felt more, and so I did that kind of thing as a young man. But then I noticed that actually even in inappropriate occasions, my mind would wander down that route. And I think, what's going on? I'm here with my family. I don't want to have those kind of thoughts when I'm here with my family. But the thing is, the thing that I'd chosen to do, it had a power over me. But it wasn't until I became a Christian and asked God into my life that I found freedom from those things. I just tell you that. Okay, I've run out of time and I haven't got anywhere near what I wanted to say. But I think the Holy Spirit's already said enough, I hope. The other things I was just going to touch on were just around sonship, because it gets later on in that chapter, it talks about we've received a spirit of adoption, and by that spirit we cry out, "Abba, Father." That's amazing, that we can be that intimate with God, the maker of heaven and earth, that we can call him Dad. It's by the Spirit. The spirit of adoption. And that adoption is not a modern adoption that we think of, but just being included in the family, because that's quite a low thing at one level. It's good, it's a big thing at one level, but it's a low thing at another one level. And this is more of the Roman adoption. I was reading the book on Augustus Caesar over my holiday. A fantastic book, by the way. But he adopted Tiberius Caesar. And Tiberius Caesar was probably reigning in Rome about the time Romans were written. Or maybe just before. So they knew the power of adoption. Tiberius Caesar was not Augustus Caesar's son. He was the son of a woman he did marry, but he didn't adopt him when he married his mother. He wasn't going to be the heir. He wasn't going to be the next emperor, but he adopted him later on in life. And when he adopted him, that meant he was going to be the next Caesar. He was going to be the one to carry on the name. He was going to be one to inherit the title, the honor that goes with it, the wealth that goes with that title. So when we're adopted as sons of God, we get the name of God. Children of God. Anointed ones. We get the honor that comes with that name. We get the wealth that comes with that name and the power that comes with that name. That's incredible. And it says the world is groaning, it says later on in the chapter, groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, that they might grow up and start to walk in that authority, to walk in that power, to start to actually mend the broken things that are all around, that was mentioned earlier this morning when Kerry was worshiping, leading us in worship. We have the power to begin to mend those kind of broken things. That's why Jesus says to heal the sick, to set captives free, to mend broken hearts, to preach good news, to speak good news to everyone that we meet. He fills us with the Spirit so that we have the power to do that. So that we bring the world into the glorious freedom that we've been given as sons of God. I shall pray to you now the rest of my talk. Ay, ay, ay. Never mind. You know, and sometimes that's a spiritual thing. Sometimes that means we command healing to people's bodies. And, you know, I've had the privilege to do that occasionally, nowhere near enough as I'd want to. But it's fantastic if you feel the Holy Spirit urging you to pray for a sick person and declaring healing and then seeing them healed. That's amazing. That happens. If you're sick this morning and need prayer, I encourage you. I pray for you, but there's any number of people here that will pray with you. Any number of the sons of God are here. And where the sons of God are, they walk in the power and authority that Jesus has given by the Spirit to heal the sick. You know, also, I've got to say this. Forgive me, Kerry. By the way, you do a great job. By the way, I just want to say that. You do a fantastic job. And your team. But I came back from holiday just a couple of days ago, and I learned that my friends in Nepal, in Tulapatal village, the place where revival broke out, and that place nearby where I built the training center for pastors and teachers, they had a mud landslide that wiped away half the village. And so a lot of my friends out there are homeless, and they've lost animals and livestock and lost their livelihoods. And so, you know, if we're talking about mending broken things, one of the things we can do is send out some resources to them and help mend some of their broken lives. That's a spiritual thing. If anybody wants to respond to that, then, you know, maybe we can have another collection and respond to that. But I want to respond to that myself personally. If there anybody else that wants to respond to that, we can work with Jesus. We can partner with Jesus to mend a bit of brokenness out there in Nepal, the other side of the world. I'd love us to do that. So let's finish. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. Kerry, can you play your keyboard, please? Thank you. The Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to minister to every one of us. Let's receive from him right now. Whether we call ourselves Christian or whether we don't, whether we know him or whether we don't, whether we feel close to him or whether we feel distant, it makes no difference. Our God is here to reach out to us this morning with the arms of love. That love as vast as the ocean we sung about, because God is love. And his heart is to bless you and to strengthen you and to heal you and to set you free this morning. And his heart is to strengthen me and to bless me and to set me free again this morning, to fill me again with his Spirit. He does all those things by pouring out his Spirit into our hearts. That he's really the God with us, that comes and inhabits our lives, not to control us, but to urge us and to guide us, to give us wisdom for the day, and to empower us to live lives that glorify him. So whether it is some of us in here know that we need to walk in greater freedom. We may have been Christians a short while or a long while. We may not even be a Christian yet, but we know actually there are stuff that we're battling with and we need a greater freedom. And so I'm going to ask us to stand in a minute and just respond to that, because it's good to prophetically stand to a call. Some of us just want to know that we're sons, because when we know that we're sons, we know that God is with us. That's incredible. When we know we're sons of God, actually it means we know that we can represent him. We know that we inherit his power, his authority to do good things, to really be able to help people. And some of us just need an encouragement that we really do represent heaven wherever we go. Some of us just need a greater encouragement in that this morning. And if you need that, I'll encourage you to stand too. And some of us just want to know a greater power upon us, to know that power to mend broken things. So there's three things there. If we're looking for a greater freedom this morning, I want us to stand. If we're looking for a greater intimacy or fellowship with our Father, to know that we're sons this morning, I want us to stand. And if we're looking actually to cry out to be more effective in walking in the power that he's given us in his name, then I want us to stand this morning. And then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, because the answer to each one of these requests is for the Holy Spirit to come and empower us freely and completely and graciously, gently, without cost. And when we call, he's going to come. So one of those things you want to respond to now and then stand. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Let's call in now. Holy Spirit, we say, come. Come. Fill this body again. Fill it for the first time. I trust you. You're a God who is love. And your plans are to prosper me, not to harm me. Your heart is for me and for those around me. Help me to walk in the light of that knowledge, to walk in the light of your love, to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that I might be filled up to becoming more and more like you. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Give us your Spirit again today, that we might walk in greater freedom. Freedom from the things that would hold us back. The sins that are like roots at our feet trying to drag us back and stop us from running the race. Help us to run freely, Lord Jesus, in these days. Fill us again with your Spirit. Lord God, help us to know you more. To know you more. To know you more. Open our eyes that we might see you in all your glory. Because you're incredible and you're such... When we see your glory, we're just ruined for anything else. Nothing else in life compares to the knowledge of your love and your goodness, and to be working with you to make this world a better place. Help us, Jesus. Give us your Spirit again today. And those of us, Lord God, that are desperate to be moving in more power and authority, I just simply cry out to you, come, Holy Spirit. Lead us, show us the way. Stir up our hearts where you want us to pray, where you want us to prophesy, where you want us to step out and declare the will of God, that we might see it come. Where you want us to give, where you want us to love, where you want us to lay down our lives. Whatever sphere we're working in, whatever place we live, we want to be people that minister to the groaning of the world and mend broken things. Help us, Jesus. Stretch out your hand and perform the miracles that you promised. And you say that you do that by pouring out your Spirit in our midst. So pour out your Spirit again today. Empower us. Help us to know that power that's for us and toward us and in us and works through us. Oh, Jesus, we love you. You're incredible. What an incredible God. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch every heart. Oh, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the freedom that's coming right now. So I just see some habits dropping off people. I tell you something. There are some people here who are never going to do the things that they struggle with ever again from today. There's a grace right now just to let go of some habits that we want to let go of. Just today, right now, just let them go. There's a grace coming on right now from the Holy Spirit. I see chains falling off people. I just see it. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. Help us to walk worthy of your love and to represent you well in this world. Fill us again with your Spirit and keep filling us every day, Lord God. Help us to remember to cry out to you, to be filled every day by your Spirit. We can do this in our own homes, because when we call, he comes. Amen.